Today I'd like to just discuss a little bit about where Streams is going, and the title of this message is Transitioning into the Apostolic. God has brought us to the threshold, and now we have crossed over the threshold. And generally what has happened in the church today is there are two lines of examples that are going. One is fading away. God is calling work out, and that is going into the apostolic phase for the end time church. The other is the pastor only model that has been in the church for close to 2,000 years, and it's not working. It really just doesn't work because there's the church has gotten things backwards. The laity is telling the set man how things are supposed to be done, and that's really not New Testament. And we want to flow in the New Testament, flow in the New Testament vision of God. We want the power of God to come in, and we want to see the people of God really be released into their callings, because there's a plan, and we've heard this. God's got a plan for each one of our lives, but how many of us that are in fellowship really understand what that plan is? And how do we fit into this? Yeah, I see a whole lot of no hands. Well, turn to the second chapter of Acts. I'm going to break it down. This will be a short message about this. Second chapter of Acts, starting in verse 42. We'll read to 47. And I really want you to begin to start putting your thinking caps on, because Streams is not going to be your traditional church. And I've said to the guys, I said, when we start getting religious, I'm out the door. This is not about any kind of religion. It's not about, doing the rituals and stuff like that. Not staying within traditions. Although some traditions are good for the church. All are. But we really need to begin to start thinking outside the box, because that's what God wants us to do. He has more for our lives than just sitting in a pew, going to church on a Sunday, singing a few hymns, throw in a couple dollars into the offering box, and then live our life like he doesn't even exist for the next 6 days, and then we do it all over again. You know, God is really more important to us who really believe in what God wants to do, and he really wants to touch your lives, so that you can go out and touch other people's lives. And that's really the scope of really what Streams is flowing in. As we start in verse 22 or 42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowshipping, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and had many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with gladness and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. What we have had to delve with and battle here is a mindset that has crept into the church, and that is a mindset that is the antithesis of what God wants to do. And for some reason, the next generation after me is kind of wandering away from God. They don't see the relevancy of God being in their lives. And you know what? I happen to agree with them. I happen to agree with the younger group that we, as far as the elders of the church, have not done a really good job in listening to them and meeting their needs and really coming forth in a way that shows the grace and love of God. And those of us that are in church and understand what this means, it means that what has crept into the church is this mindset of, I'm going to church. Right? The reality of it is we are the church. We don't go to church. We actually take church with us. And when two or three are gathered together in his name, he's there in the midst of us, and we can do anything that he wants us to do. And so we have had to combat this mindset for a long time. A lot of people have come out of the traditional church. A lot of them have come out of Catholicism. And we've had to minister to them in changing the way they think and how they look at God and the importance of what God says. And so we break it down in such a way that the first principle, we have three basic principles that we tie along with the two laws that Jesus gave us. And the two laws are what, guys? Those who are part of streams. Right. Love. Love God with all your heart, strength, mind, and soul. And love your neighbor as yourself. They're the two laws that we're supposed to act by, but do we really love each other in a way that God would be well pleased with us? And I would say we fall really short of that example. The other thing is the principles of how we align our lives up with. And the first principle is what? Matthew 6:33. Right. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And what we have done successfully has we have gone around and we have told people that we love church, we want to do this stuff, we want to do that stuff, but we have not sought God and what He wants to do. Because we have gotten into a religious liturgy about how we proceed to do things. After all, it's the pastor's job to do this. After all, the pastor knows how to do this. After all, and I'm telling you right now, that model is going away. That model is fading very quickly. And the reason why it's going quickly is because it's what I call, they have become PD churches. Program-based churches. And what happens is the pastor can't do it all. It's impossible for him to do it all. So what he does is he has committees, and he has these committees overseeing certain programs of the church, and that's where you're supposed to develop relationships, right, guys? I go to bowling night, Christian bowling night, and you know what? I'm going to build relationships with people I don't even know and people I haven't seen for 6 days. Now all of a sudden I'm going to hang with you, right? Now, all those bad habits, because I want to look religious and I want to look good, you know, I can't have a beer. I can't curse. I can't swear. I can't do all this stuff. Why? Why can't you do that? Because it's not right. It's offensive. When I go out to people and I don't tell them that I'm a pastor, and when they find out that I'm a pastor, it's really funny to watch them change. It really is. It's so cool to watch them change. You know what I'm talking about. Oh. You know, all of a sudden they become sanctified. They become real religious. They clean up their speech. I didn't mean to offend you. And I'm just sitting there chuckling because that's how Jesus went. He didn't go around announcing, you know, hey, I'm God. And, you got to bow down and worship me. He didn't do that. He dealt with people where they were. And lifted them up. He didn't want them to change because they knew who he was. He wanted them to change their hearts to become something that they never thought about becoming. And at Streams, this is what it's all about. This apostolic transition that we're going to be going into, it is not about me. It's about Jesus and what he wants to do. And the gifts and callings that he's given to you guys are to be utilized for the building of the church. Building relationships. How many of us like to sit at pastor's house and sit at the table and just chew the fat with me? How many people like to do that? How many that are in another church do that with their pastor regularly? In another church. Not this one. We're not going there. That's by default. You know, my daughter picked them. But don't you relish the time to sit with your pastor and just, what is going through his head? You know, what is going through? You know, what is God saying to you? You know, what is the pastor? God is saying this to me. How does it line up with this plan? Wouldn't you like to spend some time with him, some quality time, some real time with him? Instead of, oh, that's a pastor. I can't talk to that dude. You know, he's high and holy. You know, The only time I'm high and I'm holy is when my jeans got holes and I'm standing on a ladder. I'm no different than anybody else. The only difference it is God called me 30 years ago and he whooped my behind. Now he's whooping me into shape and now he's calling you guys and he's going to do the same thing. And I get a chance to lead you. Should be exciting. It should be like, wow, you know. And what we need to do is really Romans 12:1 says what? Second principle. If we're seeking God and what he wants to do, second principle. Who knows this one? Romans 12:1 says, I'll quote it. Come on. Come on. Somebody's got to know it. I can't be the only one that reads the Bible. Come on, Ed. Therefore, brothers. Okay, Sean, say it again so everyone hears. Therefore, brothers. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Right. Or in some translations, it's reasonable service. The key word here is reasonable. What God asked of us is not unreasonable. We may think it's unreasonable because we don't want to do what God says. Right? And because we're not seeking God and His principles first, it's unreasonable for a holy God to ask me to get out of my comfort zone and go talk to someone who's maybe different than I am, who may be needing something. God may ask me to give something to help that person be elevated into their life. And the third principle is what? Right. No longer be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How many are practicing that principle? How many would like to practice that principle? It's really not hard. It really isn't. What God asks of us is reasonable. He's not asking us to go to the cross. He's already done that. He's not asking us to do something that makes us uncomfortable. Yeah, he does. But what he's asking us to do is now no longer think about number one, myself. He's now asking us to look out for one another. And so the apostolic is going to take on this type of thing because the power is in the church. I don't see anywhere in Scripture that the power is in the set man, the man of God. Although I have power, I have authority, but it is not absolute. It's called an accountability with one another. I'm accountable to you, you're accountable to me, together we're accountable to God to do what He wants done. Amen? Ephesians 4:11 through 19, or 17 we'll go to, says, it was He who gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some to be pastors and teachers. And we know that scripture, right? We talk about fivefold ascension gifts and we talk about that. And if you're in another church, some of them may say, well, they went away when they canonized the scriptures. And what went away was those who died canonizing the scriptures. But the word of God has not ended. So He still gives apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers. For what reason? To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity of faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful schemes. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. What's Paul saying here? How is that applicable to us today? What Paul's saying is that the church, there is going to come a time when the church, and it's already happening in our midst, that the church is living like the world. Gentile means non-Jew. We are more Jewish than the Jews that are, because they have God with them, we have God within us. Okay? I'll let that one sit a little bit, let you think about that. God gave these ministry gifts, of which I'm one of them. My job is to train you to do the works of the ministry, how to serve people, how to look out for one another, how to love people in a way that God gets the glory. And by doing this, the church gets built up. People get built up. And how many of us get depressed? And do you know what the remedy for depression is? Going out and making somebody else feel better. Really. And that's what this is talking about. It's no longer being like a child. A child wants to be taken care of. Haley's going to want to be taken care of and coddled. I was going to say the rest of her life, but that's not so. But she's going to want to be taken care of while she's still an infant. Eventually, when she starts learning certain things, she'll start taking care of herself. She'll fight mom and dad about putting her shoes on or how to get dressed, even though they're not grim animals or anything like that. She'll probably have a pink tutu on with a plaid shirt and, you know, and a bow on each side of her hair, and, you know, and Dory will freak out because it doesn't match, you know. But that's how the church is right now. The church is going through this process of doing what it wants to do. And God wants us to begin to align our lives with Him so that we can do what He wants done. Now, what we have done through the years, for 2,000 years, we have taught a doctrine. How many of us have heard about the rapture? Nobody's heard about the rapture? Okay. Okay. Yeah, I have to see hands, you know. I can see who washed them, who didn't. But what we have done is we did a real good job in preaching the gospel and saying, Roger, you need to get saved or you're going to hell. And Roger will say, so? Okay. And then we'll come back and say, Roger, you know, you really need to get saved. Jesus paid for your sins. He died on the cross. He wants you to live in heaven with Him forever and ever. And then finally, light goes on and you say, wow, I could have had a V8. But instead, yeah, I'll take that deal. You know, I don't have to die and I can live with God forever, right? We can do that. We've done that. We've done it. And then what we do is we plant you in the pews or the chairs or wherever. And that's where you stay until that great and glorious day that Jesus rips open the eastern sky like a scroll. And you say, we're out of here, dudes. We're out of here. Right? And dudettes. Okay? Right? We're waiting for that day to happen. Well, there's something God wants us to do while we're waiting. And it's told right here. We're supposed to be serving one another, telling them about the love of Jesus Christ, and then exhibiting it before them in a practical way. They have need, we meet the need. Well, we find out what that need is. We have one who broke her foot, and we have Dan and Nikki. They're our liaison. You know, if God lays a something on your heart to get a card for her and just drop her a note, you know, I think Danielle would really like it. Her parents are believers, and they're blown away by the little things that we've done. We haven't done anything major, but what we're doing is we're sharing forth the love of Jesus Christ to one who needs it, who needs to be built up, and that's blown away her parents. How many of you would like to see the church begin to start acting like the church? And I mean, we have pockets of that going on, but wouldn't it be wonderful if they saw this tidal wave of people finally growing up, stop being selfish and self-centered, stop being a baby, get back the shoe that I've had ripped off my foot because it's stuck in somebody's behind because they don't want to do what God's doing. I want to give that shoe back and so I can be balanced and not limping around. And we work this thing out together. And that's part of what Streams is going into, but when I had my mini stroke, the church rose up and started doing that. And I'm blessed because I don't have to preach that. It's now working within our four walls that we're meeting needs. And people want to be a part of something that meets needs. People want to be a part of something that's moving and it has life. People want to be able to really see God move in their lives. And many of us are sitting here, I don't even know if God's real. Let me tell you, He is. He created you. And He has still a plan for your life. He still wants to use your life to make a difference in somebody else's life. He's not angry with you. He's not angry with the things that we do that really upset us. He's not frustrated with us. He just wants us to get on His plan. He wants us to get with His program. That's all He's asking. Become part of the church. Become part of that which is alive, which is beginning to flow and have something. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping His promises, as some would understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting that anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." We have to understand some basics about God, and generally what we have is a misgiving and misguided and misteachings of who God is. God is creator of everything. He is the boss. I am not a boss. I get the privilege to be spanked by Daddy first, and then I get the privilege of sharing that good news with you so that you will do what's appropriate so that you don't get spanked by God. How does that work in our lives? Well, it may work something like this. You know, I was thinking about getting married, Pastor. What do you think? You know, this chick, boy, she's a dynamite. She's knocked out. You know, she's got her life together. She's doing all this. What do you think? And I'll say, well, she's got a lot of character flaws. She's manipulative. She lies. She's trying to control your life. And that's the good parts of her. She doesn't work. She doesn't hold a job. She expects so much out of you. She lives in a reality that is foreign to anybody. How many would like to have a pastor that would speak the truth to you so you wouldn't make a mistake? See, that's my job. My job is not only to be involved in your life, but to guide you in your life so that you don't make the mistakes, so that you honor God in everything that you do. But you still have the free choice to do what you want. And people think that God is this ogre. He is not an ogre. He let me do whatever I wanted for 30 years. And then when He had enough of my nonsense, I had a car accident. I almost killed myself and my family in it. And I committed myself to the Lord Jesus Christ. He saved my marriage. He saved my relationship to my kids. I've met Him a couple times. I've been honored enough to meet the Lord Jesus Christ, see Him right here as I see you guys. Wouldn't you want to have that kind of relationship with God? Oh, that's spooky. That's far beyond what I've ever known. That's the relationship He wants to have with you. That's how intimate He wants to have a relationship with you. No different than Haley, you know, throwing her googly eyes and stuff and making faces, and Auntie Holly is over there holding her and containing her so that she doesn't go crazy. But God rejoices over you. God thinks so much higher of you than you really want to understand. God has a plan for your life, and it's nothing but good things. He doesn't think harsh things about us. He doesn't condemn us. He doesn't throw guilt trips on us. He'll let us do what we want to do. But eventually, comes a time when we have to understand that we're going to get punished. And like any good parent, God doesn't want to be our friend. He wants to be our parent first. And when we start getting our act together, the friendship develops. And a lot of times what happens is with parents, we want to be friends with our kids and we don't want to be parents. We have to be parents first. And when our kids grow up, the natural relationship that would come would be a friendship next. And that's who God is. He wants to have a relationship with you as you grow up and become that which He's created you to be. And only you can be that which He's created you to be. Second thing we have to understand is that the pastor model is not going to do anything. It's archaic. It can only go so far as the programs will allow. Programs cost money. What I believe in Streams of Life is money should go into people's lives. I really do. Yeah, we have a building. Why? Because we can't contain anybody else here. Ministry is growing. We need to house people of God, train them. But we also want people to come and worship with us and really sense the presence of God in a real way. Be touched by God and have miracles. And when I start telling you about the miracles of what God has done for us here, it's phenomenal. Because our lawyer said to Holly, everything that you could have done, you did wrong. And yet you're still here at the table. Yeah, and this is the guy who teaches about real estate law, commercial real estate law. And he's blown away. And he should be. Because it was our faith in God that got us to where we are and where we're going now. So the pastor model is not going to equip the saints. It's not going to do anything that's really going to cause us to grow together as one. And that doesn't mean that we're hawking each other down at the door every day. You have the choice to fellowship with whoever you want. Just so happens that some of these people want to come here because they know Irene's a great cook and they know they're going to get fed. So why not pick Pastor's brain at the same time? I like to eat. Luke 14:23 says, then the master told his servants, go out into the roads and the country lanes and make them come in so that my house would be full. You see, the church of Jesus Christ is not full yet. And if we're waiting to escape this planet, with rapture, we have an escape clause. You're waiting for the wrong reason. It's about rewards. God wants to reward you. He has great rewards for all of us. And if we don't do what it is that He wants, He's going to take our life and all of us are going to stand before Him. And this is, I really get excited about this because I see the church happening in doing this. He's going to take your life, Roger, and He's going to throw it into a fire. And that fire, if you haven't built anything in there, you just get saved. That's it. How sad is that to go through your whole life sitting in a pew and all you do is have salvation? Do you not understand that God wants to lavish you not only in this life but in the next life? Lavish you with homes and family members that truly love you, that want to care for you and provide the things that you need. You don't have to go around stealing it. Just ask. And He'll give it to you. I just asked. And He gave it to him. We just do the things that He tells us to do. And because we're obedient to those things, guess what? Daddy puts a big old smile on his face and says, oh man, this is a little thing for me. I'll give it to you. Because you've proven yourself faithful in little things, He begins to give you more things. Amen? So we're at this place now where Daddy's house is not filled, so we have to begin to start thinking about how can we be utilized in such a way that His house be filled, and yet He be glorified, and when we stand before Him in the rest of our lives, that we have rewards. Jesus said, where I'm at, you're going to be with me. And there's mansions. Can you imagine? Wherever you live right now, and I think I have a nice house. I've renovated and damaged it, and guys went crazy when we were damaging it, and they did a real good job in destroying it. And Irene would say we ruined a perfectly good house, and we did, but we made something a little bit better. But this is not a mansion. Where you live right now, what God's going to give you is so much better. We can't even comprehend how awesome it is. Can you imagine, Kimmy, can you imagine The house that you live in right now is all gold, and you can see right through it, and it's so clear and stuff. And there's pearls down the driveway. And in your mailbox is made out of some sort of precious... Yeah, it has no bills, too, because he takes care of that. Isn't that awesome? And part of the benefit package is you don't get sick. You'll never die. You know, nobody will steal your stuff. Isn't that a good deal? Yeah. And guess what? He's going to bring it back to earth because he's going to remake this earth and he's going to live with us here. We're not going to spend eternity there. That's just a hangout place until we get our act together. But he's coming back here. Because you read Revelation, it says he brought New Jerusalem down from heaven to dwell with men. Amen? So what is our strategy in building the church? Well, first of all, we have to understand the phrase that Jesus is using in this scripture here, in Luke 14:23, to make them come in. That word is agakazazo. It means to agonize. It means to pester people. It's really what it means. It means to be a bug. But I like to put it this way. Most of the time when we nag each other, and those of us are married and our wives are in our ears, you know, they nag us because they got something important. No, I'm on their side. I'm on the women's side. Okay? I'm going to tell you guys. You got to get your act together. Yeah, he's right. Yo, man, I'm going to take care of you. And she's going, yeah, come on, bring it. Yeah, okay. But really, when she has something important that has to get done, she's going to be in our ear, right? Until when she stops. When does it stop? When we do it, right? And we do it right. We do it the way she wants it done, right? I know, I've been married for almost 40 years. I get it. I'm a slow learner, but I get it. So take it from me. You know, don't make my mistakes. Learn from them, brothers. Learn from them. But what he's saying here is that, you know, when we deal with people out there, we need to pester them with love. We need to bug them in such a way to love them. And what do? We pester them in a negative way. You'll never amount to anything. You're a bum. You're lazy. You're this and that. You know, have we said this? At least 100, 200 times, have we? We're filled with a bunch of negative stuff. And that's not how God speaks to us. He never, never calls us the way we feel. He always says, man, I got plans for you. I got great ideas for you. You know, what you're doing right now, that's menial stuff. But you know what? If you're faithful in this, I'm going to promote you. I'm going to do something. And we've had guys lose jobs and because they believe God. Ed was out of work for 6 months. Used up his unemployment. The last check that he was getting, he went to a new job. Gary's going to lose his job in a couple months. I believe that God's going to have a job for him. But he's taking care of some of the stuff for the church. Ed took care of some of the stuff to get us to this point for the church. He's going to take us through the threshold of this plan that God has for us. And all of you can buy into it. All of you can be part of it. And I'm inviting you to be part of what God's doing. Don't sit there and just waste your life away, sitting in front of a video camera, playing the games and stuff. Video game. Yeah, well, whatever. You know, it's Hadley. It's not Haley. You misnamed her, that's all. And then I would call her Haley. Yeah, see, she's agreeing. Uh-huh. Fist bump. Come on. Yeah, right on, girlfriend. Okay. Okay. I learn real fast. But I want to encourage you guys that Streams is going to be one of these churches that is not going to be dogging you and chasing you down and begging you for money or doing any of this stuff. All Streams is going to do is tell you what God's doing with us. And hopefully you'll want to be a part of what God's doing. Whether you have a church and they're not doing anything in there, you could be a fire that could light that church. Then again, you could be a nuisance. Because it may be a program-based church, and they don't want live wires in there. I know, we got thrown out of a couple of them. We did. But that's just how it is. We must understand that the strategy of God is not in buildings, although we utilize them. God's strategy is for us to rightly relate one to another. And it takes an apostolic vision. It takes an apostolic cause for that to happen. And if you're not in a church that's moving in an apostolic vision, it is end time church, then leave it. It's dead. It's dying. And if you go in there and you come out there going, and I like sitting down with you guys. What did the pastor say? I don't know, but it sure was good. If you can't remember what the pastor said, it wasn't that good. Because it didn't challenge you, and it didn't change your life. And that's the way it should be. It should challenge you to be more than you are, and to change your life even more so to glorify Jesus Christ. Amen? Father, we just thank you for this time. God, I just pray blessings upon your people, God, that they become that which you call them to be, God. God, use them as weapons in your hands, Lord God, to defeat the enemy, to drive the darkness back, and to allow the light of Jesus Christ to shine forth from them, Father. Those who have not made a commitment to you, God, I pray for them that they not leave here today, God, without that commitment. But most importantly, Father, I ask that you bring them to the reality that they are homeless and they are without family in this world. That the realities of this next world is coming, God, and you are desirous for them to be part of your family. I ask that they make that commitment to you, God. Father, I just pray for them now. Pray that the peace of Jerusalem fall upon their hearts, the peace of your Holy Spirit just engulf them, God, to overwhelming God. And Lord, I just thank you for Haley, God, and the dedication of her parents to present her to you, Father. Bless the Bryan household richly, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.